When you read the book of Acts, there is no way that you can read the book of Acts without seeing and watching the moving of God's mighty Spirit 2,000 years ago, and the early church was established. The first church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, was established. And when you come to Acts chapter 2, you and I come to one of the probably the most poignant and powerful passages of Scripture when you're looking at the mighty moving of God. You know, you look at Acts chapter 2, and there is something so significant about this passage. We call it, the birth of the New Testament church, and it is the moving of God at Pentecost, and it is. But when you look at this passage, there are some very, very significant truths that are born out of this passage whenever God moves among His people. What is essential for the Father to move among His people in this day and time? You know, whenever you think about a movement of God, sometimes we think, well, you know, here's what we got to do to have a movement of God. Here's what we need to do to have the working of God. And we talk about what we need to do. Well, there's only one problem with that. It's not really accurate. When you look at Acts chapter 2, and I want you to look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, tonight I want us to look at the essentials of revival and the moving of God's Holy Spirit. Would you not love to see the mighty moving of the Father's precious Holy Spirit to come and move in such demonstration where lives are drawn to Him, people come back to Him in genuine repentance, maybe a person who has certain feelings and sensations they know they ought not to have, they make them right before the Father, they make them right with someone else. Well, in Acts chapter 2, I only want to look at verses 1 through 4, but I want to look at the essentials of revival. So if you'll turn there in your copy of the Scripture, the Bible records what happened on the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, I only want to look at these four verses, but I want you to follow carefully along with your outline, because I want to deal with, as you and I prepare for our upcoming revival meeting, what is really essential. It's not just an upcoming revival meeting, but folks, you and I know that our land is in dire need of a movement of God. If there is not a movement of God, we're very poised to be ruined as a land. In the Scripture, God makes it very clear that when His people depart from them, He sends His servants, He sends His prophets, He sends His instruments into their life to teach and proclaim the truth. Such was the case in the book of Jonah. You remember the people had departed, and God sent Jonah unto Nineveh. And he sent his servant, and Jonah didn't want to go, but it was either this. They would either repent or they would ruin. God even made it very clear, 40 days and they're going to be destroyed. If you look very carefully in our land, it is very significant where we are in our land right now. We are the most scared, we're the most petrified we have ever been. We don't really have any security. Yesterday, the stock market in one day's time took 165-point tumble. And sometimes they have no idea why it tumbles the way it does. The stock market is sort of like a ping pong ball, back and forth, back and forth. We're just really not sure where we are, where we're going. But I can tell you this. If there's not a revival in the land, the people of God, then here's what is going to happen. There is happening in America what has been happening all across European nations. There is the birthing of another nation, of another nationality. And those of other nationalities, they have more children than Americans do. Think about this. The average American has 1.7 children. Now, I don't know how you figure that out, but that's about the ratio. But the average Muslim has between 7 and 9 and 11 children. How long will it take for them to outnumber those Americans? And I'm not saying that you know, anything's going to happen necessarily that we're going to become a Muslim nation, but we're poised that way. There are so many things that are happening in our land. We're petrified. We're a scared land. I shared some of this with you Sunday morning. But in Acts chapter 2, there are some very significant points that you and I need to understand whenever it comes to the essentials of revival in the land. In Acts chapter 2, you'll notice something very significant. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the people of God. If there's going to be revival in the land, it begins with the people of God. Now, notice something very carefully in Acts chapter 2. You need to look and you need to notice carefully. God did not start with the unbelievers. Revival is not really, really the reaching of the lost, because revival, by the simplest definition, means to bring to life again. You can't bring a lost person to life. They have to be resurrected, because the Bible says they're dead in trespasses and in sin. And revival originates in the heart of God. It also originates in the people of God. It was the people of God, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they were together. It was the saints of God that were in that upper room, and that was the birthing of the church. And the first great movement of God among the world was among the people of God. The Bible makes it very clear that they were all together. Now, ours is not to set you, you cannot bring about revival. I cannot bring about revival, but we can do our part in meeting the conditions. The people of the upper room, the Bible says, they were gathered. And as they were gathered together, the Bible says they were all gathered together, and they were all in one accord. You know, we can never know what the Father wants to do in any given service. Now think about this. How many times have you been in a particular service, you didn't know anything was going to happen outside of the norm, and all of a sudden God invaded the very presence of that service, and he did something so magnificent and so wonderful and so dynamic. You said, wow, if you missed service that night, you missed a revival meeting, or you missed the movement of God. It is the moving of God. The Bible says they were all together. In other words, it begins with the people of God. You know, the Bible says they were all together. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully, because this is the framework of this text. The Bible says that every single child of God was there. Look carefully in your scripture and follow along. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were, what's the next word? All. Do you know what that word all means? There were unanimously. In other words, every single one of them was present. What would the Father bring if the saints of God, all the saints of God, of Faith Baptist Church said, I'm serious about our land, I'm serious about my part in this land, I'm serious about what I need to be a part of and be obedient to the Father. What would the Father do? The Bible says that they were all there. In other words, every one of them. All simply means in the Greek language, it means absolutely every single one of them. Everyone that was a child of God, they were present. They were present because the Bible says that they were serious. They were serious about their faith. They were serious about their walk. They were present because they had been changed by the Father. Could it be that many who may not be present, some of them have not been changed? Sometimes we say, well, so-and-so is a Christian and he can do that. Need to be very careful, because our Father said, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what he's really saying, what he's saying? You can call Jesus Lord, but your life is the proof text of being a genuine child of God. If the people of God are not interested in the land, are they really the people of God? If the child of God is not interested in revival in the land, is he or she really a child of God? The Bible says in the book of Acts that for the movement of God to come, it was preceded by every single Christian being present, every single one of them being in one place. You see, not only were they in one place, but the Bible says they were there in unity and in harmony. It's interesting in verse 1, when you get to the very last word or last words in verse 1, the Bible says they were all together in one accord. One accord is a very special word in the Greek. Literally, there was no disharmony among them. Now think about it just for a minute. Every one of us come from a family. Is there a disharmony from time to time in your family? Oh, yes. You know, do you and your wife see eye to eye all the time? Someone said if you and your wife agree on everything, one of you is not necessary. And there may be some degree of truth about that. And but watch what happens. And one of the greatest reasons that revival is hindered among the people of God for an outbreak of God's movement. Listen, when people are convicted by God, you don't convict them and I don't convict them. There is the movement of God's Spirit upon them. I am a sinner before God. They know they're a sinner, and it is God the Father that convicts them of their sin. You can't convict anybody of sin, and neither can I. But the Bible says in verse 1 that they were all together in one accord. In other words, they were all unanimously of the same mind. When the people of God allow the Father to create in them a harmony, something is going to happen. When the people of God allow the Father to create in them a harmony, listen to me very carefully, the biblical evidence, the biblical text, something is going to happen. God is going to see to it. Because that always happens prior to a moving of God. Always. And it's not just, you know, it's not agreeing that you like the same colors. And I'm not talking about, you know, you like blue, I like blue. But a harmony of mind where the people of God, we're on a mission for the Father. We're here for a spirit, for a short span of time. And so, you know, when the people of God allow the Father to create in them a harmony of obedience to advance the kingdom, think about it for a moment. They were together, the Bible says they were in harmony because there was one mission on their heart. Now think about this. Governments come and governments go, don't they? The United States will come and the United States will go. But there is one thing that will go on for all of eternity, and that is the kingdom of God. You know, when you and I realize, listen, we're here to advance the kingdom. We're here to seek first the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, turn there for just a moment. In Matthew 6, 33, listen to what the Bible says. In Matthew 6, 33, the Bible says, seek first the what? Kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you realize what Jesus is saying? It is the priority of the people of God to seek first the kingdom. That is the agenda of the Father. What is the Father up to? What is God up to? What was God up to in Jerusalem? What is God up to in the area of Corbin? What is God doing through Faith Baptist Church? Listen, sometimes, and we always need to say it humbly, I marvel at what God has been doing and is doing. I talked to someone from another church just the other day, and they desired to come and see what God is doing through Faith and Team Kid program, another sister church. Here's what happens. When there is a church whose heartbeat desires to march with the Father, Father, I know we don't, you know, there are differences, but you desire to march with the Father, there's something that happens. There is that unity of spirit, unity of mind, and the Bible makes it very clear that they were all together, they were all there in one place. In other words, they were in the presence of God. They didn't rush in and get a quick fix. They didn't rush in to listen to a quick message and then rush out. The Bible says they were all there in one place, in one accord. And you know, there was a reason for their unity. They desired to walk in obedience to the Father. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to listen to these four principles. When there is a people that desires to walk with the Father, when you're serious about your God, your Christian character, when you desire to be willingly honest before the Father in prayer, and you have a heart of prayer before the Father, something is going to happen. That's the biblical evidence. You see, we need to understand something. They had no idea that anything was going to happen. They didn't know. They didn't have Acts chapter 2 to read. They didn't know what was going to happen, but here's what happened. They were the people of God. They were there in unity. They were there in harmony. They were there in prayer. And then verse 2 happens. I want you to look at verse 2. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. In other words, the word suddenly means unexpected. They didn't know what God was up to, but they were involved in it. They were there in unity. They were the people of God. They were there in harmony. They were there in prayer. And all of a sudden, as the Father looked at their lives and looked at what was going on, the Bible says that there was the moving of God's Holy Spirit. Now, listen to me very carefully. There is no moving of God apart from His Holy Spirit. Sometimes, you know, we'll pray for God to bring revival and we never say a thing about the Holy Spirit. We never talk about the Holy Spirit. There is a wonderful song we sing, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." I know some of you can remember meetings in which the very presence of God was just so real and so poignant. I never will forget one service. It's been a few years ago. But there was a young man who came in. I don't know where his life has gone to, but he happened to come on one revival meeting night. And as God preached through the evangelist, I think it was Dr. Lowry at that time, you could just sense the conviction and the moving of God. And when the invitation came, that young man stood here, and the evidence of his life, he was literally shaking under the conviction of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that when there is the moving of the Spirit of God, sometimes suddenly something happens. Look at your outline and look at the text. You know, there was that precious, powerful, dynamic moving of God's Holy Spirit. Listen, if you come to church, you don't pray about anything, you don't ask God for anything, you don't want to be in harmony, don't want to be in unity, you'll never experience a moving of God. But if you come and you say, "Father, I want to do my part. I want to be obedient to you. I want to be sensitive to you." Sometimes when you and I least expect it, there'll be that suddenly that takes place. Suddenly the Holy Spirit of God. You and I see some people that come in and out from time to time, and we may say things under our breath. Wouldn't it be good if they just had the Spirit of God just laid hold on them? You ever heard yourself say this? "Boy, that person got a good dose of salvation." Well, tell me if there's a bad dose. You can't have. Listen. Watch what happens. Suddenly. In other words, the environment was right. Now, listen to me very carefully. There has to be a right environment between a husband and a wife. She has to be a certain health. He has to be a certain health for there to be the birthing of a baby in a home. When the people of God are together, there has to be a certain environment before the Holy Spirit can and will move in His power. Don't you dare think for a moment that the Holy Spirit will come and visit a church and they're arguing and fussing and feuding, and I've been in some like that and they're very cold to be in. You know God's not going to move because the Holy Spirit is so gracious and kind and gentle. He won't make a people of God. But where there's a people of God hungering, where there's a people of God that are yearning, the Bible says in this passage that all of a sudden it happened. And the Holy Spirit's presence was so real. Listen to the way Luke records it. And one translation puts it this way. "There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." Now, not going to get into the particulars of tongues and all that, but here is what would happen. The powerful present evidence of the Holy Spirit. But it was preceded, listen, It was preceded by all the people of God being present with one another in harmony, in unity, in a spirit of love. It was preceded by them praying. And you see, you know, question has to be asked, how many times have we been in meetings and meetings that we weren't expecting anything to happen and we didn't anticipate anything to happen, and that's exactly what happened. Ask yourself this question. Don't answer it out loud, but how many times have you been in a revival meeting, you didn't expect anything to happen, you didn't think anything would happen, and that's exactly what happened? I must confess, I've been there too. But when you and I are the people of God and we're serious with the Father, Father, I want to be obedient to you. I want to be the person you want me to be in my family. I want to be the person you want me to be. I want to live in harmony with every person that's around me. You mean that means that you agree with everything that happens? No, that's not saying that. But part of your responsibility as a Christian is to grace others. Grace means giving other people what they necessarily don't deserve. You see, the evidence of the first great moving of God's Spirit involved all God's people. Notice what I did not say. I didn't say some of God's people. The text is very clear that all the people of God were present. I wonder how grieved the Father is. And I know in many cases I'm speaking to the choir at this point. But I wonder how grieved the Father is when those who name His name have little interest in being present in a revival meeting where He's going to be preached and He's going to be talked about. Now think about this a minute. Let's suppose you go visit one of your children. You've traveled hundreds of miles to visit them, but they would much rather turn on a radio and listen to it, turn on a TV and listen to it, than enjoy your presence. Tell me how you would feel. You'd be hurt. You'd be grieved. These people of God, in their day and time, it was busy. They had things to do, just like, but here was something. The Bible makes it very clear. They were together in unity. You can't describe what the Holy Spirit does when He shows up. It is beyond words. But the best description is there is a wind. There is a wind of the fragrance of the Spirit of God. Have you ever found yourself so excited and exhilarated in a revival meeting that you thought, I just can't handle much more of this? Because of the moving of God's Spirit. Watch what happens. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what's significant? They were sensitive to the Spirit of God. They were sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. They wanted to be whatever the Father wanted them to be. You see, when the touch of God and the moving of God's Spirit is not significant, little happens. You ever been to a church and nothing happens? You leave the same way you go in. Unfulfilled, unfed, indifferent. You don't mean to be indifferent, but you didn't get anything. In the last church that's written in the New Testament, the last church that God speaks about and never says anything else about any other churches, there's two characteristics about the last church that He talks about. It's the church of Laodicea. He said, I would that you were cold or hot. He said, if you were cold or hot, but you're not cold and you're not hot. In other words, there is a lukewarmness about you. Have you ever rinsed your mouth out with lukewarm water? Have you ever drunk lukewarm water? Sometimes, you know, you don't want to wait till it gets hot. It's just lukewarm. There's sort of a nauseating feeling about it. I wonder how many believers across this land are nauseating to the Father. Nauseating to the point that obedience is not an issue in their life. Obedience and following the directives of God is not significant. Listen, the Bible says these people, all of them, were in one place of one mind, one accord, because it was a big business to them. They wanted to be obedient to the Father. Sadly, so many people are concerned about getting saved because they don't want to go to hell, but they don't ever think about pleasing the Father. You see, in this passage of Scripture, he says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. In other words, heaven is watching. You ever stop to think about that? In every service we're in, you say, well, I just don't know what will happen. It's just a Wednesday night. You just don't know what God wants to do on any given Wednesday night. Because whenever you and I are together, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there is the presence of God. There is the person of God among his people. So let me ask you this. When two or three people gather in the name of the Father, what is there that he might do? I heard Don Mathis tell the story some years ago. It was a wintry time, and he was traveling over the state of West Virginia, and he had a preaching engagement, and it was bad weather, and as he was traveling, he was thinking to himself, nobody's going to show up. I'm going to travel all this distance, and nobody's going to be present in that church on this Sunday morning. But he went anyway. And as he preached in that service, the Bible says God uses the foolishness of preaching. Now, I won't ask you to say amen to that, but that's what the Bible says. He preached, and here's what happened. A lady, probably in her mid-60s, stepped out of the aisle and walked down and gave her life to Jesus Christ. And he apologized to the Father because he thought, because of weather, because of snow, nothing much was going to happen. Aren't we that way? Well, Lord, there may not be a whole lot of us there. You don't have any idea what the Father wants to do in any given service. Maybe a person that for a long time has thought they were saved and they're not saved, give their life to Christ. Or some way God moves. The Bible says when these people were together in one place, at one time, suddenly God showed up. And you know the rest of the story. 3,000 people were saved. They weren't saved inside the church. They were saved because these Christians had boldness about them by the power of the Spirit of God to go out, and they proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Peter preached, and thousands were saved. This weak, wimpish preacher who was scared of one woman and denied that she knew Jesus, on another occasion he preached and 3,000 came to Christ. Don't underestimate what the Father wants to do through your life of obedience. Sometimes we say, well, my brother's been lost a long time, or my sister's never come to the Lord by now. And you just don't know. At one given time, one given moment, what the Father will do. But the question is this. Is it of major consequence to you to be in harmony with the Father, to be in harmony with one another, to be united and just simply say, Father, I want to be a vessel. I want to be, whatever you want to do through me. One of the prayers that I'm praying after I've gone through experiencing God really two or three times, taking it and then facilitating it, one of my prayers, I wake up and say, Father, whatever your assignment is today, you just show it to me. Wherever your assignment is. We can't understand verse 2, folks. Suddenly, God showed up. There is a fragrance from heaven, a power from heaven, that when God's people are serious with Him, He will show up. He will do immeasurably, abundantly above all they ask or think. These Christians would never forget that day. They would never forget what happens when you get together in unity and harmony and oneness of mind and oneness of spirit. Sometime between now and this coming Sunday, for those of you that have been a part of the church family, go back and look at the good things the Father has done over the time that you've been here and how the Father has done so many miraculous things in this fellowship. But you know what? How much more does He want to do through a people that's obedient? He wants to do immeasurably. Listen to what He says. He, our Father, wants to do immeasurably above, beyond what we could even ask or think. Would you pray with me each service? Holy Spirit, would you show up tonight in your power, in your majesty? What will He do? I can tell you exactly what He'll do. I can give you the exact answer. I don't know. But that's the exciting part. Because I believe and I know God has a people sensitive. God has a people that's anxious. But here's the sobering reality, friends. If there's not revival in the land among the people of God, we are on a precipice of danger, disaster, and potential destruction. Will you take this time that the Father gives us of utmost seriousness? Let's take time to pray. Dear Father, I think about this one passage in the book of Acts. This one passage in which our early brothers and sisters gathered together. Simple as they were, humble as they were, yet loving one another, praying for one another, obedient to the agenda of the Father. And they met. Lord, it wasn't legalism for them. They loved one another because they had been redeemed. And as you looked, you saw their unity and you saw their obedience, and suddenly, You showed up. The wind of heaven. Father, I try in my mind's imagination to think what that holy wind must have sounded like. The wind of heaven invading the very presence of those saints. That sweetness, the joy, the exhilaration they felt in their spirit, and the laughter and the harmony. And oh, how you gave their witness boldness. Peter preached a simple message, and people were saved. Lord God, You're not looking for fancy people, but You're looking again for a humble people. You're looking for a humble people of heart and mind. You're looking for a people that yearn to have a real relationship with the Father. And when You do, when You see that people, Father, that suddenly will take place again. You'll visit them suddenly. The sweetness of Your presence and maybe conviction of sinners and conviction of areas of our own life where we know there's disobedience or something that ought to have been done that's not been done. Father, the world will never know all that took place in that early Acts chapter. But Father, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, you remind us, ours is to be the people of God. And whenever someone encounters our life, they encounter the very presence of God, the very fragrance of God. Father, I pray for everyone here. Wherever they go this week, whoever they encounter, that, Lord, you'll give them that loving grace. It may be a situation that they don't like to be in, but, Father, respond through them in grace and respond through us. It may be somebody they encounter as a family member that's lost. Father, give them the boldness to share the Word of God lovingly. Maybe just to share how they were saved. Father, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would visit us Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in a special, wonderful way. Not only then, but even now, Father, that fragrance of the Spirit of God. And we thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness. And this we pray in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.